come into your life like I do every night from the heart of your radio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheap songs. Here's hoping everybody out in radio land finds a love just as true as mine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. Joining us now, it's this time of the week. We do it kind of to wrap up the week every week. Our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, is with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Man, I am doing great. It's a beautiful day here in South Alabama. Glad to not be in Montgomery like I was yesterday and down here getting ready for the weekend.
Well, observation, very slow kind of off season, if you will, as far as legislature goes. And I mean, I know this last session, it had its spirals, if you will. But I think people just worn out and really are, maybe they're looking at elections or whatever, getting ready for the cycle. But I'm talking to some of your colleagues, you know, and I was up in Rainesville on the 4th of July, and there does seem to be a sense of everything sort of unplugged right now. I know there's still some things going on, but very, very slow, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, we had contract review yesterday, you know, trying to protect the taxpayers from its government. But we do that, and we join transportation committees and sunset committees, are heating up. So there's still a fair amount of activity. But, yeah, it's definitely, you know, markedly slower than what you may have seen, you know, earlier, obviously during session. And then, of course, you know, it's election time, and everybody's, you know, trying to gear up for reelection as well and pay attention to that. And the municipal elections have got a lot of heat and attention on them right now. But I think once that's, you know, those things are settled here in the next month and a half or so, then you'll really start seeing the folks that are on the ballot in 26 really, really start to get to work.
Yeah. And looking at it, Senator, like right now, and you're running for reelection, but a lot of people will be. What are they going to be talking about? Are we going to go gambling again? I think that's an evergreen, but what's going to motivate people to be engaged in these legislative races?
Well, I think there's likely to be a lot of change from what we've been doing for the last 8 years. And I'm excited about that. I mean, I'm looking forward to serving another 4 years in the Alabama Senate. I feel like we've got some new excitement with a new pro tem in the Senate and Senator Gudger. He does things differently than previous pro tems have done. You're seeing some retirements start to kind of trickle out from the Senate, so you'll have some new blood there. You'll likely see Senator Gudger, I think he's going to have his folks and, you know, the new quadrennium and his team, and I think he's going to really, really, there's an opportunity for him to leave his mark and put his stamp on things. And then I think you'll see as well, after these elections, you're going to see a new governor, right? You're going to have Tommy Tuberville coming in. Coach Tuberville is going to have some really firm ideas on what government should do, how it should act, and coming out of an environment in Washington where he's been very, very aggressive and assertive about government efficiency. That's an exciting thing for somebody like me to hear, as opposed to what we've had under Governor Ivey's administration. And so I'm excited about that. And so I think the campaigns are going to be focused on, you know, what are we going to do in the next quadrennium? How are we going to take the energy that Coach Tuberville brings to the office and put it to use in the legislature and make government as efficient as possible, root out inefficiency wherever possible, and make sure government's really actually conservative. It's an opportunity to kind of shake things up. And that's just not something that Governor Ivey put a big, emphasis on, right? Her message was, well, let's just steady the ship. And listen, she did that. But now I think it might be time to shake things up a little bit. And I think, you know, Coach Tuberville's definitely going to do that.
Something that was kind of interesting, that happened in the last few days. The non-reappointment, I guess, of Lee Gwathney to the Pardons and Paroles Board. Going in a different direction there with Hal Nash. I don't know how that's going to turn out, but were you surprised?
I was a little bit surprised. I mean, look, I don't know how. I know Lee, and I texted Lee as soon as I heard that news, and I just thanked her personally for her service on that board. Alabamians should know that she protected them from dangerous criminals being back out on the street. People slept better, whether they knew it or not, because Lee was the chair of that board, and she deserves serious kudos for really standing up against what I thought were some, you know, unwarranted attacks, and in a thankless job. And so she did great work. I'm very proud to know her. I'm proud to call her a friend. I wish that she would have been reappointed. Again, I'm not familiar with the new appointee. The governor's new appointee may be a great guy. I hope he is. But Lee did great work for the state, and she is absolutely to be commended.
Well, and what I don't like about it, and I know that there were the obligatory sort of statements from, you know, all the different players in that realm, from Senator Ward or Director Ward, and from Governor Ivey, and from others, but like. Do we need to go in a different direction? Is there going to be an adjustment here now that we, you know, did and they dispatched of Charlie Graddick in a hurry there? But was it time that we got a handle on the paroles process now, where you're not going to have another Jimmy Lee Spencer sort of situation? And this is where I'm very unclear that now we need to kind of start looking and getting back to maybe a normal set of rules. I know that Democrats have screeched and screeched and screeched for years about it, but it's not really clear to me what this, and I don't know, maybe it's clear to you or not. We don't know what the new appointee is going to do, but maybe just a broader picture. Is this a suggestion that this is a policy change, or was this just a, something to appease some Democrats later on down the road if you need something out of them, like a vote or something?
Gosh, I hope not. I hope that was not the move. And again, I think it's to be determined as to what this appointment looks like. I think we're going to find out. But I sure hope it wasn't a nod to Democrats. And I sure hope it wasn't a nod to those that were screeching, as you say. The people that are left in our prisons are bad folks that have done serious crime and have certainly been hardened in our facilities. There's no question about it. And so when you look at eligibility for parole, with the exception of those that are infirm and near the end of their life, and expensive to the taxpayers, by the way, I just don't see the possibility for a lot of these folks to be ready to get back out into society. I just don't. I'm sorry. There are people that you simply cannot rehabilitate. And we have let so many people out of jail already. The ones that are left are simply, I don't think, candidates by and large. And so when you see a low parole rate, that's not because you have somebody mean or heartless who's the chair of the Pardons and Parole Board. It's because they're looking at these individuals and judging them on their merits and saying, you're still not a good person and you haven't been rehabilitated and we shouldn't let you out. And that's okay. That's what they're supposed to do. So I hope that we continue to see that out of our Pardons and Parole Board and not some seismic shift that lets dangerous people back out of jail.
Well, speaking of which, I guess you got to have a place to put these people. Any news, and this is kind of out of left field, but any update on where we are on prison construction in Alabama?
You know, it's been a couple months since I've gotten a firm update, but I will tell you it is plodding along. They are making progress. We are building a prison, you know, in Elmore County. That's going the KIV correctional facility there. But then the challenge is going to be the funding for and how, you know, and what did this first prison actually cost, because we still have no idea. what this thing's going to cost. But then it'll be, okay, what, you know, what does this next one look like? What kind of cost savings do we have by building essentially the exact same facility in Escambia County? And then what does the funding look like to make that happen? And that, you know, that's one of those not terribly exciting, not terribly sexy issues that the legislature will deal with in the next quadrennium and with the new governor. I mean, that's going to be something Coach Tuberville is going to have to get his arms around and say, you know, okay, how are we going to do this? You know, is there a new prison commissioner at that time, a corrections, or does John Hinn stay on? I don't know the answers to those questions. And so that's the interesting and exciting thing about, you know, a whole new quadrennium with a whole new administration.
I mean, and you know, that's a bigger discussion. We don't know what the next governor is going to inherit from Governor Ivey. It does feel sort of autopilot to me. I don't think I'm alone in saying that. But you have to wonder, like, some of the stuff going on in the administration, there's not a whole lot of transparency there. I mean, the governor doesn't talk to the media. She doesn't. She'll do a ribbon cutting every now and then, and then you don't see her for another week. I can't help but wonder, the next governor, who will likely be Tommy Tuberville, is going to inherit from this administration.
Well, and I don't know either. I mean, and you have to remember that a lot of the appointees, you know, cabinet level officials, you can take the ALDOT director, John Cooper, for example, you know, are Bentley holdovers, right? And so you've got an ALDOT director who likely will have served for all of Governor Ivey's 10 years and Governor Bentley's, 6 years plus. And so he will have been out for 16 years. That's a really long time. That's the longest serving ALDOT director we've ever had. And so, you know, and there are other folks like that in that administration that have been there for a very, very, very long time. And I expect, you know, Coach Tuberville is going to come in. He's going to have his own team. He's going to have his own people, and they're going to have their own direction. So it's an exciting time to be in Montgomery, but you're correct. I don't, you know, when you get into office and you see where, you know, pull the rug up and see where everything is, it could be interesting. And I think we're going to, especially as it relates to transportation issues, you know, we've got a lot of big projects promised from, you know, from an I-10 bridge in Bayway to a West Alabama corridor to all kinds of projects in the Wiregrass and up in Huntsville-Madison area. There are all these projects that have been promised. Somebody's going to have to actually build those things. And so that's going to be a very interesting kind of chickens come to roost and see, okay, where are we really on these things that we've been working on for the last 16 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, and some of them will still be ongoing, and the governor will inherit them as they're going, and it's not clear, like, you know, what the heck's going on here, or what's the plan, who's really in charge here, how was this bid out, what you know, there's all these other things that you're going to inherit, and my suspicion is we're going to be like, why are we doing it this way? This is, you know, this is not cost effective. This is not in the best interest of the taxpayers or you know, the prioritization here. I mean, I think there's a real mess here. Just, and this is very anecdotal, but just kind of going around the state and seeing it with my own eyes.
Well, I think you're right to an extent there. I think at the end of the day, you know, it's going to be a huge reset and replacement. Again, a lot of those same folks have been there for now, you know, two governors worth, and it's going to be a reset and a shakeup. And I think that's exactly what Coach Tuberville is expecting. That's what Governor Tuberville is going to encounter. It's going to be a lot. Just because of, you know, how long things have been status quo. But I don't know what to expect. It's going to be interesting, but I think he's the guy for it. If you're looking for a shakeup, if you're looking to kind of dislodge the last 16 years of what's been happening in Montgomery, then he's sure the guy for it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how it goes.
Well, and then I guess we'll wrap it up on this kind of in that vein. I mean, it is the system ready for this? Is you know, the establishment Montgomery going from Governor Ivey, who's seen, you know, and we don't really know what the pace is here, and there's no real, like, stated, at least, policy direction. My guess, you get a new governor in there, be it Tommy Tuberville, that things will start really, you know, things will start picking up and start moving. And it's, you know, it's never easy when you go from 0 to 60 all of a sudden. And is, you know, there's going to be some hurt feelings. I wonder what it'll be. Exciting for sure. But you know how some people are kind of set in their ways.
Not sorry. It's time for a shakeup. And I'm not, I don't care if they're ready for it or not. I mean, you know, look, we are the people's representative to the government, not government's representative to the people. Okay. It is incumbent upon legislators and elected officials in the executive branch to make sure that we are acting on the best interests of the people, not the best interests of the bureaucrats. And so it's time for a reset, and I'm looking forward to doing that alongside Coach Summerfield. That's what we need to be doing. I'm excited that he's coming to town, and if they're not ready for it, they should be. You know, here's your warning. Get ready. It's coming.
Well, and, you know, we'll see how they handle that. Senator, we're out of time here. We always appreciate your time, and we will do this again next week.
You got it. Y'all enjoy this beautiful weekend. Steve, you can go see the Blue Angels fly.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.